Everybody, welcome to another exciting episode of Data Exposed. I'm your host, Scott Klein, and back with me is Yost. Yost, how are you doing?
I'm good. How are you, Scott?
Good. So we just got done doing a show on the in-memory stuff for 2016. Great video.
Yeah.
So thanks. Now you're back to talk about, what are we talking about?
Well, first off, I must say, you're still wearing the same shirt as last week. I mean, is that on purpose? Is this your shirt for all the recordings?
Yeah, exactly. It's all about, you know, it's all about the data now. Actually, so, well, you know, and really, I mean, we could say the same. Or did you change?
No, I only wear this type of shirt. I have 20 of these in my closet.
Oh, like Scott Guthrie in the red shirts, yeah.
Exactly, mine are green.
Awesome. Actually, so we're doing two shows back to back. We'll publish them in different weeks. So, yep. So you know, now you know our secret. Darn it. Yeah.
This is not live.
This is not live. That's right. Recorded. Okay. So we just did a show on in memory, and now we're talking about
memory optimizing temporary data structures. Or how to improve TempDB performance while leveraging some of the in-memory OLTP technology.
So we're going to focus on TempDB.
Yes.
And we're going to be doing some whiteboarding today, which is awesome because we've had Yost do whiteboarding today. Cool. So where do we get started here?
So let's start with, like, if you are scenarios where you would be using TempDB or some kind of temporary data structure, and before implementing in-memory OLTP, how that looks like, and then how it's going to look like with in-memory OLTP.
Right. So I noticed too that, you know, new in SQL Server 2016, when I install SQL Server, one of the options it gives me is how many TempDB files do you want, right? And by default, it's 4, right? Is that part of this discussion?
Well, no, part of this discussion is more getting rid of TempDB altogether.
Woo! Oh, wow. Okay. Stop the presses. You just an audible gasp from the entire SQL Server community right there.
Now, TempDB is still leveraged. So we're talking about user data structures like table variables and temp tables.
Yeah.
Get them out of TempDB. TempDB will still be used for your table spools and for spilling certain queries.
You're talking about the usage, getting rid of the user usage of TempDB.
Yes.
Correct?
So table variables and temp tables.
Basically. Okay.
And also some scenarios where you may want to use temporary tables today, but you cannot because of some limitations.
I'm very interested, as well as everybody else, about how this discussion is going to go. All right, let's get started.
Yeah. Okay. So one kind of typical scenario that you have is where you have, let's say, an app.
Yep.
Let's say you have a order processing app.
Okay.
So it wants to persist orders in the database, right? And an order will have a number of line items. Line item 1, 2, 3, etc. Right.
Okay.
So it's a variable number of line items.
Yep.
And you have your database, which has, let's say, a sales order table.
Okay.
And a line item table.
Okay.
So the way the most efficient way to get your order from the app to the database is what we call a table valued parameter.
Okay.
So you construct your TVP at the application side, table valued parameter, and this is sent to the database.
Yep. Okay.
Now, what happens now as a first step is, so this, let's say this is the user DB. If you're using a table valued parameter, that's essentially a table variable.
Yep.
And traditionally, table variables are tables in TempDB. So in this scenario, this is TempDB. When this table valid parameter comes in, a table is created in TempDB for, let's say, this is order 1. So So let's call this at order one here. So a corresponding table is created in TempDB.
Okay.
Now, and this is because TempDB can spill to disk and everything. You have to configure your TempDB to live on disk. Okay. And you were referring to this option now in SQL 2016. You can specify the number of files you want to have associated with TempDB, and that is for efficiency reasons, right? The reason why you would actually want to have multiple TempDB files is that you can actually have like a whole bunch of these requests coming in parallel.
Yeah. Right? Mm-hmm.
If you have a very busy sales order processing application, you will have many transactions running in parallel, all trying to create this table valued parameter in TempDB.
Yeah.
Right? And they will all hit the same TempDB. If you spread over multiple files, it gets kind of partitioned between these files.
Right. Right? Okay.
But still, you will still run into bottlenecks.
Okay.
So you can. So first off, you need to create this table. There are some intelligent caching mechanisms built into SQL Server, but still there is this overhead, and you can still get contention. Right.
Right. Okay.
And the databases the DBAs, the experienced DBAs who hit tend to be contention scenarios. They will recognize PFS and SGAM as these are types of pages in SQL Server. And if you have this kind of scenario where either you have a lot of table variables being created at the same time by different threads, by different transactions, or you have a lot of temp tables being created, you get contention on these, right? And this can become a bottleneck in your application.
Okay.
Similarly, a similar scenario is where you use a temp table as kind of what we call intermediate result set.
Okay.
So let's say you have some kind of stored procedure. It has begin, end. In this stored procedure, you do some computation. Maybe you run some queries or whatnot. A computation can go into a temp table.
Yep.
Temp table. And you will have like further processing often on this temp table where you do further massaging of these result sets, and then maybe you get some return results, right? And again, this temp table will go to TempDB.
Mm-hmm.
And if you have a lot of concurrent executions of the sort procedure, you have
TempDB,
similar kind of thing.
Temp table is created,
Then the last scenario I wanted to mention is where you have a form of transient data. Let's say you have the user session state for your web application, right? Where you persist what the user preferences are, what the browsing history is, for example. But if that the data is lost, you don't really mind, right? Because you can just recreate the session.
Right, okay.
So in that case, you would, what is very particular about the session state scenario that I also should mention is that it needs to be globally accessible.
Right.
It's not within a single session, not within a single connection to the database,
across connections. Yeah.
Across connections, because you typically have like a scale-out web form, and each of these will need to access the state, potentially of the same user, right?
Yeah.
You can have a web page that has multiple parts, served by different servers, and they all need to get at that, right? So you could, in principle, use what we call a global temp table or the double pound temp table.
Yep.
However, that type of table has some limitations that make it a little bit difficult to use for this scenario.
Okay.
Because you always need to check whether the table exists, because it's not part of the user schema. It's not part of the database schema.
Right.
So you need to always check if the table actually exists. If it doesn't exist, you need to create it.
Right. Okay.
The reason that it doesn't always exist is two things. One is if the last connection using the table is closed, the table will disappear.
Yeah.
And also, if there is a server restart or failover, the table will be gone.
Right.
And that is because it lives in tempdb.
Yep.
Right. So this is often hard to use. So then people just use a plain old table in their user database to work around this limitation.
Right.
But then it is fully logged, and you have the same kind of contention actually that you would also have on your temp tables here.
Yeah.
But it is also fully logged. You need to provision all the data I/O. Even if you don't really care that much about the data, you can, if there is a failure, you're okay with losing the data because you can recreate it.
Right. Yep. Okay.
So that is the picture when you're using tempdb, right? So there are, as we mentioned, some improvements, certainly in SQL 16. There are certain things that SQL Server kind of optimizes in tempdb, like, for example, the logging is lazy. It does not do write-ahead logging. And there are a number of other optimizations in tempdb,
right,
including these multiple files that we have now in SQL 16. But still, you're still hitting bottlenecks, right?
Yeah.
And in some scenarios where you would want to use tempdb, it's difficult because of programmability limitations.
Okay. Yep.
So what do we do then with in-memory OLTP? How can that help?
Right.
Right. So with in-memory OLTP, what we say is, okay, for these scenarios, you don't use tempdb.
Okay.
Instead, you use structures in your own user database. So
structures in your own database. So again, going back to that, I'm going to use my own table, right? Or maybe an in-memory table.
Yes.
Right.
Okay. So for your TVP, for your table valued parameters or your table variables,
yep,
you just define a table type.
Mm-hmm.
As memory optimized. So I can say, for example, I have my type dbo dot sales type, and I declare this as memory optimized.
Oh, okay.
And what happens now is if this TVP comes in, instead of creating a structure in tempdb, we create a memory-optimized structure in the scope of the user database.
Uh-huh.
So in the memory available to the user database.
Okay.
And this table variable is completely in memory. So there's no I/O associated whatsoever.
Is it okay to think about that as, oh, now my tempdb is in memory because it's a memory-optimized structure at that point?
This structure is in memory. Yeah.
Right. Okay.
Not your whole tempdb.
But
your table variables.
But the TVP. Okay. So I'm taking the whole TVP and putting that structure. So when you had your temp database over here and you had the TVP structure over here, you're putting that database, but the structure in memory.
Yeah. Itself. So maybe we can have a box here, call that memory.
Yeah.
So if this TVP comes in, we'll create here a memory optimized structure. Let's use a different color for that, which has your rows, and this is, for example, this order one.
Okay. Yep.
Right. And then if you have a lot of different kind of requests coming in, a lot of different TVPs, they will each get their own memory optimized structure.
Yeah.
And there is no. No artifact that needs to kind of globally keep track of these allocations.
Right.
They're all local.
Right.
And that means that there is no contention on anything. Like, so there's no concept of PFS or SCAM pages.
Right, okay.
And there's no equivalent.
Yep.
It's just we create just in a memory that is available. We just allocate this structure and just use it without waiting for anyone.
Okay.
So there's no lock. There's not even a single spin lock being taken when doing this allocation.
So my performance
goes up. So these, and I mean, customers have been seeing up to tenfold improvement in the performance of their transaction processing application just by changing their TVPs to memory optimized.
Yeah. So the only thing they're doing is they're just saying they're changing the TVP to memory optimized. That's it.
That's it.
Okay. Wow. And but it's the same. the same process for, you know, what the TVP is going to do. Instead of putting it in TempDB, it's just going to put it in memory.
So yeah, yeah, that, yeah.
Yeah. So the only change is changing this.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Interesting. Okay, that's cool.
Absolutely.
Wow. And so what about, what happens here from a stored procedure standpoint, right? Can this use that same process?
It uses the same kinds of structures, but of course it cannot use table variables because
right.
it's a table.
Right.
But it can use a memory optimized table.
Okay, so what they're doing here, instead of temp table, they're just going to point to a memory optimized table.
Yeah, so instead of your pound
yep.
temp table, you are going to use a memory optimized table, which is a user table.
Right.
So it is going to be like, for example, dbo.temptable.
So they'd have to basically create.
And this is a memory optimized.
Yep.
Memory optimized table.
Okay.
And what is important here is that you want to use durability schema only.
Okay.
Because by default, the activity in a memory optimized table is fully logged.
It's fully logged.
But we have this mode of saying schema only, and that is for, and then in that case, the data lives only in memory, not on disk. But an advantage of the fact that this is a user table is that the schema is persistent.
Yeah.
So the table is always there. So for this scenario where you have, for example, your session state or some other kind of temporary objects that you want to use, you can simply use here let's call this also global here. Memory optimized schema only table.
Yeah, okay.
Right? So you then in that case you never need to check whether the table exists because you know the table exists.
Right.
It was deployed as part of your user schema.
Okay. So here we're just replacing the pound temp table and just saying, hey, just create an actual user table, but it's memory optimized with schema only durability.
Yeah. Now in this case, we are replacing a single pound temp table.
So a single pound
is a session scoped temp table, meaning that nobody else can see this content.
Right.
So you do need to apply, because this is always a global table, so you also need to apply some kind of filter. And I will show in a minute what this looks like.
All right, cool. So even like you're saying, orders of magnitude performance, just by getting rid of the disk, right?
Yeah, and getting rid of the data structures in TempDB because they no longer exist. Everything is log-free, so no longer any friction, and the data access is so much faster because of the memory-optimized access methods.
All right, well, let's see some of this action, but first I think we got to get rid of this, so how do we do that?
Let's get it.
All right.
Okay, just give me 3, 2, 1.
All right.
Okay, so what we have here is our good old SQL Server Management Studio.
Yeah.
And want to take a look at some of these memory optimized temp structures in action.
Yep.
And also want to show a little bit how you replace existing kind of TempDB based structures with your memory optimized structures.
Yep. Cool.
So so first let's take a look at some table variables. So we have, what I'm first going to do is drop types if exists. Are you familiar with the syntax, Scott?
I've never heard of drop type if exists. It must be fairly new.
It is new in SQL Server 2016. So in SQL 2016, you can use this syntax, drop type if exists, or drop table if exists, drop view if exists, instead of having an if condition, if select from sys.objects is not null, right? If you're a DBA, you're familiar with that nagging syntax.
Yeah.
So we now have this very simple syntax, drop if exists.
So a tuple, it'll figure out what type it is and then drop it.
Yeah.
That's actually pretty cool,
So drop type if exists. So what we are going to do, I'm going to do a comparison between a TempDB-based type,
okay.
I just call it test disk in this case, and a memory optimized type, which I call test memory.
Okay.
The main difference is for the memory optimized type, we have here this option that says memory optimize equals on.
Right.
And I also have an index here, which is required for memory optimized right. table types. But this particular index in this particular demo doesn't really make a difference.
Okay, cool.
So let's go ahead and create both types. So what I want to do now is I want to run a very simplistic workload just with a single session. So what this workload does is it declares a table variable, it inserts two rows, and then it deletes those rows. So okay. some very simple operations. And it does that 10,000 times.
Okay.
So that means that Management Studio will go back and forth between the server 10,000 times.
Right, so it'll insert and then delete 10,000 times.
Well, plus declaring the variable, right?
Yeah.
So that is also an important thing to keep in mind. If you establish a new connection and then you declare a table variable, the data structure for the table variable is allocated at that point.
Oh, okay.
Right? Whereas if you would have a loop on the server side doing this 10,000 times, you just reuse the same structure.
Okay, yeah, okay.
Right? So that is to kind of simulate a lot of connections coming into the server.
Gotcha. Okay.
Let's see what our performance looked like. My Zoom is not working. Let's see if this one works. I don't know how to use these tools. Okay.
Over to the left.
So it took 19 seconds.
Seconds?
19
yep.
seconds. Okay, that's the number to keep in mind.
Cool.
So let's zoom out again. And then we do the same test with the memory optimized table variables.
Okay.
So let's run the test and let's see how long it took. It took 1 second.
If that.
Right?
Yeah.
Yeah, if that. I don't know. We have a granularity of 1 second, right?
Right,
so that's going from 19 to 1 second.
Right, okay.
And the reason why we have such dramatic performance gain here is that I am there are two factors, actually, in this case. Right? So the first factor is the actual declaration of the variable,
yep.
which creates the data structure mm-hmm. for the table variable. And that is to hold the data, essentially.
Right.
So this is like a table-like data structure because okay. it is a table variable. And this, we need to do the same kind of work both for the TempDB-based and for the memory-optimized case.
Okay.
In a TempDB case, we create a new table structure within TempDB, and even though there is some intelligent caching going on behind the scenes, still we need to walk a lot of data structures, go right. through the PFS, the SCAM pages, do all these allocations. So that takes a significant amount of time.
Right.
Whereas with memory optimized, we use the optimized code path of just creating a new table data structure in memory, leveraging the DLL that was created for the table type.
Right. Yeah, we don't have to go through all those, the overhead of
right. There's yeah. much less overhead in creating
right.
those.
Yeah.
So that is one important factor. The other important factor is these three operations. There are three short, very short operations, right? Just three operations. The two inserts only do one row and then delete only two rows.
Right.
But with memory optimized data structures, these operations are so much faster.
Right.
Because they are memory optimized. You have the optimized code path, optimized data access.
Yeah, and we saw that in last week's video.
Yes.
Right? Just the performance we get just by moving a table into in memory, right? And so we see that here, right?
Yeah. So that's the table variable.
Okay.
So let's get rid of this one here. Okay. So first for the global temp table scenario. So that is your kind of double pound.
Yep.
Where I'm going to use a simple stored procedure. What it does is it uses this temp table.
Yep.
I need to have this statement checking if the table exists or not. If it does not exist, then I need to create a new one because I cannot rely on the schema
right.
the table being there. Right. And then I'm just going to insert 100 rows.
Right, okay.
Right, and I do everything in a single transaction for efficiency purposes.
Okay, yep.
So that the logging overhead of TempDB is minimized.
Yep, okay.
Because I want to compare apples to apples.
Right, okay.
Okay, so let me go ahead and create this table. And again, this is using TempDB, the traditional global temp table. Mm-hmm. And again, a global temp table is a table that is available for all sessions.
Okay, yep.
Okay, so I'm going to run this particular command, and I'm going to kick it off, and then I'm going to explain what it does. So I'm using this tool called OStress.
Okay.
So OStress is part of the RML utilities. That's a suite of utilities that's actually released by Microsoft Customer Support.
Oh, okay.
By the SQL Server Customer Support.
Okay.
And I really like OStress because it really very conveniently allows me to run a highly concurrent workload.
Okay. Yep.
In this case, I have it configured such that you have 100 connections are being spun up. And
wow.
Each connection runs the same stored procedure 500 times.
Wow, okay.
And that is with this single command, right?
Okay, yep.
That's what I do. You see here the N100 means 100 connections.
Yep.
And R500, so 500 iterations. So they each do it 500 times.
Okay. Wow.
So this completed in about 29, 30 seconds.
Okay.
Right? That's a number to remember, 30 seconds.
30 seconds.
Now, if you scroll up a little bit, the picture doesn't look that pretty, right? We see deadlocks. There's already an object.
Yeah.
So the reason why all this is happening is that I have this very highly concurrent workload. So you get contention on this kind of similar kind of structures. That's why you get deadlocks.
Right.
Right. And we have here the statement. There is already an object named that in the database. That's because two concurrent sessions, they both found there was no table. They tried to create it at the same time.
Yeah.
One of them succeeds first, and then it's already there, so you get an error.
Okay.
So we have 29, 30 seconds with errors.
Okay.
But we have only a couple of errors here. So most threads did not see any error, right? So.
But still, that's enough of enough errors came back that you know we can consider that a big issue, right?
Yeah, yeah. Now this is of course much much higher concurrency,
right.
much more pressure on the same temp table.
Yep.
It might not be as realistic, but well. And my main argument is more the performance rather than the deadlocks.
Right.
But it's like. It doesn't look too pretty anyway.
Right.
Okay, so what I'm going to do now is instead of the global temp table, I'm going to use a memory optimized table with the same schema,
mm-hmm.
but I'm going to choose durability schema only.
Okay.
Right. So this is a user table, and durability schema only means that the schema is persisted. So the schema is part of the user database,
yep.
but the data is not. So right. If you reset the server, the data is gone. Then I'm going to recreate my stored procedure.
Okay.
So in this case, in the stored procedure, instead of the reference to the
temp table,
to the pound temp, we have a reference to our user table,
right, okay.
Now, which is the schema only memory optimized table. And again, it is doing the exact same thing. It is within one transaction, it is inserting 100 rows.
Well, and actually, and part of the stored procedure you removed is I'm not checking to see if that thing exists and then creating it, right?
So that's true. You can remove that
right.
part because you create upfront. You create this table at the time of schema deployment.
Yeah.
You don't create the table inside the stored procedure.
Agreed. So yeah, my point is that you don't have that overhead in the stored procedure
of
checking every time if that thing exists, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Okay, so I'm going to run the exact same command, see how long that takes. So it is again running with 100 concurrent connections. And we see in this case it takes about 5 seconds.
5 seconds. Yeah, just over five. Wow.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
Significant, right?
So it's a pretty significant performance gain that we're getting. Plus we don't have any errors.
Right. Yep, that we can see. Yeah. So no errors.
There are no errors. I mean, you see all this logging up here, that just says that it is cleaning out the result files from the previous execution.
Yeah.
Right.
But you're 5 seconds down from 30.
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah. Yeah, pretty good performance gain. So, so that's a pretty nice gain. So now let's look at session level temp tables, right? Because that is the scenario where you have a stored procedure, you're doing some computation, you want to store your results in an intermediate place, massage those results a little bit before either storing them in a user table or returning them to the user.
Cool.
So we're going to reuse the same stored procedure name, and we're actually going to do the same logic here, right? But instead of a global temp table, we're using this local temp table.
Okay.
Right. So in this case, each stored procedure execution, because this is a local temp table, it will allocate its own structure in tempdb. That means there will be less contention on the structure itself, but there is still going to be contention on the other allocation units that kind of keep track of all the allocations, like the PFS and the SCAM pages that I mentioned. So again, we have our logic that creates a local temp table and inserts one 100 rows, and I'm going to run the same command again.
Okay.
And this is, again, you see that it was cleaning out the previous result files and executing executing the same stored procedure 500 times on these 100 connections.
Okay. So and no errors that we
errors,
but still took about 18 seconds.
Yeah, there are no errors in this case, no deadlocks in this case, because each transaction gets its own temp table, right? So there are no logical locks being held on any pieces that can collide.
Right.
And that is probably the reason why this is faster now with its 17 seconds. It's faster than the 29 seconds we saw earlier with the global.
Because
deadlocks, if there's a deadlock, you start waiting, and it all takes time.
Okay.
So this is more efficient in this case. 17 seconds. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So now let's use a memory optimized local temp table.
Okay.
So what I'm going to do first is actually I'm going to create this, or rather, I have a bunch of stuff that I'm creating here.
Yeah.
But let's focus first on the table. So I have here my table again with my two columns, the C1, C2, the same types as before.
Yep.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Now, and this is again a memory optimized table with
schema only. Yeah.
But this is a user table in the database, meaning
standard memory optimized table.
Standard memory optimized table. That means it is global.
Yeah.
So that is where the filter condition comes in that I mentioned earlier. Because you want each session to see only its own data.
Okay. Yes. That makes sense. Okay. Yep.
So I have a couple of things here that facilitate this. So here's my session ID column that stores the ID of my local session.
Okay.
So that is essentially used for filtering.
Okay.
So each row in this table will have a session ID, and the session ID will identify which session is allowed to see this row.
Right, okay.
Right. And then, of course, we need an index on that to make the lookups efficient. And I also, for security reasons, to be extra safe, I have here a constraint ensuring that you are only manipulating the rows you are allowed to manipulate. Right. You're only allowed to insert rows that or update rows that correspond to your session. Now that is good that you can only manipulate your own rows, but also if you run any select, you don't really want to change your select queries to have a where session ID equals something clause in it, right? So in this case we're borrowing some of the functionality introduced by the row level security feature.
Okay. Oh, cool. Okay.
Because row level security, what it does is it just does filtering, right? It filters the rows from the table that you're not allowed to see.
Yeah, based on policies. Yes.
Yeah. In this case, we have a policy. Our policy says you are only allowed to see the rows from your own session.
Yep. Based on your spin ID,
Yeah, and that is what we define here at the top.
Okay.
And my function session filter.
Mm-hmm.
So this function, this is a filter function, and you can use it for all the kind of local temp tables that you have in your database.
Right.
You need to specify this function only once.
Yep.
And we have here our filter condition, session ID equals at spit.
Okay, yep.
Right? It's a very simple session, very simple. And then we have what we need to do to bind the filter predicate to this table is to create a security policy.
Yep.
To, we say, create security policy, add filter predicate on my table.
Yep.
Right, so you need to create this function, need to create it once for all, and you can reuse it for all the tables in your single user database.
Yep. Create the table.
But then for every temp table, you need to define the temp table itself as well as the security policy.
Okay, that makes sense.
Okay. But now that we have all that in place, mm-hmm. and this all happens at deployment time, right? When you're deploying your database mm-hmm. or upgrading your database. At runtime, this is what the stored procedure looks like. So instead of pound temp, we have here dbo.temp.
Yep.
We do need to have the delete statement here. So we get rid of the rows that a previous session may have entered. So the general rule is if you're transitioning from pound temp table to memory optimized local temp table, is replace the create table temp, create pound temp table, replace that with the delete statement.
Okay. Okay, that makes sense. Okay.
So I'm going to create the stored procedure, and then I'm going to run the same OSTRES statement again. So it's again my 100 connections,
yep.
each executing the stored procedure 500 times. And we see the results again about five seconds.
Yeah, so down from 18 down to 5.
Yeah. So that's pretty significant performance gain.
Oh, that was awesome. Okay, so very easy. So, you know, it's clear now, because when you're at the beginning of the show, you're like, we're going to show you how not to use TempDB, right? But this is, you know, using everything we learned in the previous show about, you know, in memory, how we can get better performance by leveraging in memory to replace essentially our, you know, TempDB temp tables and global temp tables, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you know, the reason why I like to talk about this scenario is that if you want to replace all your transactional tables and your critical stored procedures, that is kind of invasive in your application. So to get any performance benefits, you need to do quite a bit of work.
Yeah.
But with this, replacing your TempDB structures with these memory optimized structures, that is usually just a really small change.
Yeah.
Especially if you think about replacing your TVPs, it's just a table type definition where you have a one line change essentially.
Yep.
So these are really easy changes to make, and you can get a really big bang for your buck.
Right.
Of course, it depends all on the application.
Awesome.
And we will list the link to this blog post in the description.
Yep, the
this
show.
Has actually all this. This has everything we talked about today, and also all the steps that I showed in the demo are in this blog post.
Yeah, this is great. Okay, that's awesome. Okay, Yost, this is phenomenal. Really, very good, because I think that's, you know, how we think about, you know, getting better performance out of our database by moving out of TempDB, right?
Yeah,
that's
absolutely.
Great way to think about that. Awesome. Thanks for coming. Thanks for all the information.
Yeah, you're welcome.
We look forward to having you back pretty soon. All right, everybody, great show. Thanks for watching, and we'll see you next time.